wasn't anything going on. That was the problem. There wasn't anything. I think what it was everybody was kind of like, remember back in the day when they used to do. And like I said, Mark Cole was the minister at the Methodist Church, and he approached me and said, what do you think of having like a youth gathering up in the town hall for the kids? You know, they could come up and, you know, be different things to do. And I said, honestly, Mark, I think it's a good idea, but I think you're not going to get what you want because kids seem to shy away of anything with church, especially if they'd have to get up and say a prayer or something. I said, you know, maybe if you can approach it like a youth group type thing, like a youth center type thing. And so he started it, I think on Saturday, he started it. And they bring a little TV up and do some games and different things. And then, of course, somehow I got hooked into it. And I decided that we would do Fridays. Yeah, they'd come in the grocery store, you know, and talk and, you know, come home from school and different things, you know. And I thought, well, what about the elementary age, which that was my Sari at that time and Meg, they're 16 months apart. And I thought, well, especially when Mark was talking about it, I thought, well, I don't want to be away from my kids. So why don't we start with an age group, which we started with kindergarten to sixth grade, from 7 to 9. And then after that, we did 9:30 to 11 for the junior high and the high school kids. I want to tell you something. The first time we did this and announced it, you know, that we were doing this, they were wrapped around the building. I, at some times, would have 200 kids up in that town hall. The majority were from Caledonia or River Valley School. There were some, we had that problem. I mean, I never turned any kids down. You know, like if there was some tiff, because if for some reason it was always Cardington. I was like, dude, are you serious? You know, and every, you know, they would come up and I mean, we had rules. I had a poster board with rules, and the kids would, I'd have all these kids and we would recite these rules. They were not allowed to leave the building without their parents. It wasn't an in and out deal. You were there, or your parents had to come and get you. You know, come up and get you. You didn't get to hang outside the building or anything like that. I had, like I said at the beginning, we kind of had like a little turntable on different things. But as it grew, the village loved what we were doing. I would have donations. I actually had a full sound system that I DJ'd up there with those kids. I did a lot of legwork, a lot of PR, and I had Pepsi come up, brought in a refrigerator, brought in the pop machine, you know, to pump, to pour the pop and all that, you know, I can't even think of what you call it. And fountain, they had the fountain, it just took off. And I had the pizza. The kids had pop. They had pizza. I got with a friend of mine from Wyandotte. They donated all the snacks. Sometimes if the kids, how do I want to say this? They ate their lunch at school, and sometimes they didn't have what they needed at dinner, and on Fridays they were fed. So that, you know, but yeah. And then Mike and I, we built that little booth back there where we run the music, and we made it look like a Craig 8-track player, you know, stereo. And we went to the dollar store and got the plastic buckets and painted them silver and made them look like knobs. That was right up my alley. We played anything from the 80s, but you know, when it's, we got slack from parents, like, you know, we didn't do Nirvana, which Nirvana's nothing now, but back in the day, you know, we didn't do any heavy metal. We didn't do any Guns N' Roses. Eileen Hess was my best friend, and she was one of them with the backbone of Fantastic Friday. And Kevin Landis, he was our youngest one. And I talked to him last night. I texted him and was asking him about different things. And he said this to me, and it has stuck. And I thought it was really neat. And he, you know, he said he was so sad when you know, we did close it. And I said, yes, everyone was. But he said to me, almost a full generation grew up going up there with you guys on Friday nights, learning how to act properly in public. And like I said, I would, Mike and I would shop, or I'd be shopping and I'd have someone come up and they'd say with their girlfriend, wife and kids, this lady right here, she turned my life around and kept me off the streets. And I'm like, well, you have a child, so I'm old. Yeah. But yeah, they would say that. Or I have a girl here in the village, and she said to me, and she's a physical therapist, and she had a rough childhood. And she said to me, one night I was talking to her, and, you know, I'm always taking somebody under my wing. And she said to me, I just want you to know that night I was upset with my mom, one of those nights, and you sat there on that bench, because we had park benches around inside the town hall too, and picnic tables. And she said, you sat there and you listened to me and you looked at me and you said, you know what? You can do anything you want to do, and you are smart, and if you're going to make something of your life. And she said, you know what? That's what got me through everything. And that's where I'm at today. I'm like, oh, jeez. I know. I'm like, what? What? I mean, you don't realize the impact that you have on people. You know, I'm terrible because I don't give myself credit for nothing. And, you know, I hear things and I'm a big jokester. You know, I got to make a joke out of everything. But when I hear stuff, I crumble. I just always tried to keep it on their level. Yeah. Right. And the kids would say, hey, my mom doesn't want me. Can you play Guns N' Roses? I said, come and see me in the sound booth after. And we'll jam, dude. We'll jam. Hey, we were it.